Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Last year, when my family was visiting the Pacific Ocean, we saw something amazing. We were in the state of Washington and walking along the beach looking for sea glass when my husband noticed something along the shore. It was otters running through the sand and into the water. Now, I am eager to tell you about these otters, but I thought it would be more fun to bring on my son Will to share that story with you, as otters are the one animal that he was really wanting to see during our time at the ocean. So let's welcome on Will. Hey, Will, thank you for joining us today. Can you please share your age and one of your favorite things about otters?
I'm 10 years old. One of my favorite things about otters is they're so adorable.
They are really cute, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can you share the story of when we saw otters at the ocean?
Yes. So my family got into the ocean, and for a trip there, it was really fun. Mm-hmm. And one day we were exploring by beach. Was it near the end of the week, Mom?
It was. I think it was our last day there.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fun, because what did you say you wanted to see while we
otters.
Were at the ocean? Yeah, yeah, and the very last day.
We saw three river otters on a rock. They were fighting over a...
Do you remember the name of the fish?
No.
It was a flat flounderfish.
Oh, yeah, flat flounderfish. The others eventually dived down to get their own, but they were bugging the first one for the flounder so they could eat it.
Yeah, that first one came up with the fish, and all the others, they were kind of like, wait, we want that. What were you thinking as we were watching those otters?
Adorable.
They were really adorable, weren't they?
Uh-huh.
And it's fun to see them doing their natural otter thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to share with us about otters?
Yeah, they've got the most fur that we could ever count.
Yeah, we could never count all their fur, could
yeah.
we? They're pretty furry.
I'd like to. That'd be fun.
Thank you for joining us, Will.
Thanks.
As you might have guessed by now, today we are learning all about otters. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn what is the difference between a sea otter and a river otter. And how is a sea otter like a pool noodle? How do otters help protect God's creation? Why do otters make great parents? And how can we stay safe through a healthy community? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsor who made this lesson possible, CTC Math. God brilliantly used a whole lot of numbers, shapes, and patterns throughout creation. CTC Math makes learning math more enjoyable and helps students remember and use what they are learning. I've definitely seen this in my own home, as my kids have made incredible progress in their math journeys using CTC Math. CTC Math's online program for grades K through 12 is efficient and effective. Join over 217,000 students around the world, including my own kids, growing through CTC Math. Begin with a free trial at ctcmath.com or at the link in our show notes. Listeners, did you know that your God-given curiosity is incredibly valuable? You can protect and grow that curiosity with great resources. My family uses ChristianBook.com to discover books, curriculum, toys and crafts, and science kits that spark wonder and grow our curiosity. Christian Books online shop makes finding trusted resources easy and fun. At Christian Book, families can find materials that inspire a biblical worldview, spark scientific curiosity, and encourage nature study. Discover amazing and life-giving resources at christianbook.com or at the link in our show notes. It's time for our trivia question. How many hours a day does a sea otter spend cleaning its fur? A, they don't clean their fur. B, 1 to 2 hours. C, 4 to 6 hours. Or D, 10 hours. Again, how many hours a day does a sea otter spend cleaning its fur? A, they don't clean their fur. B, 1 to 2 hours. C, 4 to 6 hours, or D, 10 hours. Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, after this lesson, click over to the bonus video where I will be showing you a video of the river otters that my family saw at the ocean. You can find that bonus video at the link in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. My son, Will, is not our only special guest today. We will be hearing from my dear friend, Jill Smith. Jill Smith is a biologist or a scientist studying living things, and she worked as a forester. Jill writes the science pages in our weekly Nat Theo Club curriculum. So, Nat Theo Club members, you are learning from Jill and her curiosity about God's world every week. Jill wrote one of my favorite books titled Nature Unveiled, 40 Reflections on Experiencing God's Creation, which we will link to in the show notes so you can pick up your own copy. And this is super exciting. Jill recently took the amazing nature and Bible lessons from her book and created them as education cards for you kids. These can also be found on her website at the link in our show notes, and they are a wonderful and beautiful way to learn more about God's wild and wonderful world. All right. Are you ready to learn about otters? Let's welcome on Jill Smith. Jill, thank you so much for joining us today. I am very excited to learn about otters.
Well, I am very excited to share with you about otters. They are wild and wonderful creatures of God.
Yeah, I've been gathering that even as we've just been preparing. Listeners, a few weeks ago, Jill and I had the opportunity to go get coffee together during a conference, and she was sharing with me just a little bit about what she's going to be sharing with you all today, and we are in for a treat. These truly are amazing creatures. Jill, can you share some of the differences between a river otter and a sea otter?
Otters are grouped together with badgers and wolverines and minks and several other animals in the family called Mustelidae. The sea otters only live in the North Pacific Ocean, so a very limited amount of area. And river otters are pretty worldwide. They are found everywhere. These animals are long and skinny with short legs. They have thick fur. They're active year-round. They've got little tiny ears and a short skull. The sea otters are not more solitary. The river otters are more family-oriented. They're really, really active and do not hibernate like some of the other animals. So even though the sea otter lives in the North Pacific where it's cold, they have been given this amazing pelt that keeps them warm all year.
That is so interesting. I didn't know that the sea otter was only in the North Pacific. I knew they were ocean, but my husband Grayson and I, we actually had an opportunity. We saw one when we were in Alaska, It was pretty far out, but I was like, I think that's what that is. And then got out the binoculars, and sure enough, it was a sea otter upside down. So we could see its belly sticking out of the water. But I didn't know that they were only in that part of the world. That's fascinating.
Right. That's another great way to identify them, is sea otters are the only ones that lay on their back. The river otters swim on their belly or through the water, but they don't lay on their back in the water. So that's an easy way to identify them. And sea otters are aquatic. River otters are semi-aquatic. And they can live in rivers, but also estuaries, you know, where there's seawater mixed with freshwater. But if you are in the North Pacific, those northwestern states, into Canada, up into the southeast Alaska, you can see sea otters. But you could also probably see river otters, too.
So you got to look close.
You have to look close.
I love that. If they're doing a back float, it's the sea otter.
That's right.
Jill, you also shared with me, I'm so curious about this question. How is a sea otter like a pool noodle? Like you mean like we swim with, right? Like those long pool noodles?
Right, right. When a sea pup or a sea otter pup or a river otter pup is born, they pop up out of their mother to the surface of the water. And it's because their fur is so dense, it traps so much air that they just come up to the surface of the water. They will not sink down to the bottom. They are like a pool noodle. And if you go to the pool and you take a pool noodle with you and you push down on that pool noodle, it just wants to pop right back up. And that's why I likened it to a pool noodle, is because it doesn't take on water and sink like some other things you would take to the pool would. The pool noodle and the otter pop right back up.
And one reason is because their hair is so dense.
Their hair is so dense. Like, so the sea otter has 1 million hairs per square inch. That is hard to believe.
It is.
How dense that is. And so because of that, and because it traps air in there, it's a great insulator. And with river otters, they have much less hair per square inch. It's more like 60 to 300,000 hairs per square inch.
That's, and if still you compare, a lot of hair.
It is still a lot of hair, but they live in, you know, all over the world, so they don't need nearly as much insulation. They do not have blubber like a polar bear does, but polar bears have 10,000 hairs per square inch. So if you can compare it to other animals, they just have blubber in addition to their hairs.
Wow. So it's almost like the sea otter has like a built-in life vest.
Yes.
With its thick fur. Wow, that's amazing.
It is really amazing. So because they pop right up, they have to learn actually how to swim.
Oh, goodness. So like right from that young age, they're having to learn how to navigate the water and swim around to do everything
they're supposed to do in the water. They just float.
Goodness.
And so they don't know how to swim or even what to swim for. So that's something that they have to be taught.
And do their parents teach them that?
Yes. The sea otter, his mother basically raises the pup, and she will drag the pup down into the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, my goodness.
She'll grab it by her mouth and pull them down because it's fighting to pop back up.
Yeah.
And show them where the food is, how to collect it. She's collecting things off the ocean floor and teaching them how to swim and how to take a breath and all the things, which is just phenomenal to me. River otters live in more shallow waters, and their food is more abundant because it's fish. They eat fish, where sea otters eat clams and oysters and sea urchins and things, crabs, things that are in the bottom of the ocean.
Okay. Well, speaking about sea otters eating urchins, you mentioned to me that is part of the way that otters care for God's creation, even if that's not exactly what they know they're doing. Can you share a little bit about how otters are an important part of God's creation?
So sea urchins feast on the holdfast of kelp.
So, and what kelp, is a holdfast? Can you describe
it is
that?
Like a root structure. It's not a true root, but it holds on to things on the ocean floor, because sea kelp can get very, very tall, likened to a tree in the ocean. And so it needs something to anchor it to the ocean floor. The sea kelp forests are phenomenal for diversity. There's so many animals that take refuge and live in the sea kelp forests. And
it's its own ecosystem, isn't it?
It's a complete ecosystem. And, you know, little baby things, fish and little critters that live there take refuge because they can find shelter, but they also can hide from predators there. And they can, it's kind of a nursery for them so that they grow up and can be safe. And so when sea urchins move across the ocean floor and find holdfast, they will chew them all off. The sea kelp will go flying, you know, will swim, you know, basically be washed away, and the ocean will be desolate, kind of like a desert, because the sea urchin won't move from place to place. It will just go to the next sea kelp and eat that one as well. And so it creates
almost
these
like
areas.
Cutting down a forest.
It's like cutting down, clear cutting a forest.
Yeah.
And so what sea otters do is that's part of their diet, is eating sea urchins. And I was really amazed by that because sea urchins are covered with spines, all these really sharp spines. In fact, I have stepped on one.
My word.
And it was so painful.
That's worse than a Lego.
Yes, worse than a Lego because it actually punctured me.
Wow.
And so I wondered, how is it that a sea otter can just bite through a sea urchin? But they do. They have these large canine teeth that is common in all the Mustelidae animals, and they just chew right through it. And those spines do not affect them at all, which is pretty phenomenal. So just by eating sea urchins, they are protecting not only their environment, but their habitat. When they go hunting, they wrap their babies in seaweed so that they know their little pool noodle won't float away.
Oh, let's go a little deeper into that, because you were telling me that otters make great mothers. Can you tell us how they do that? How do they take care of their little pups?
Yes. So sea otters, because they lay on their back, will pull their pup onto their belly. That keeps their pups from floating away. It also helps them keep track of him and helps her protect them from other predators that may be nearby. And then when they get older as juveniles, she will actually hold their hand. So the two of them together, or many other sea otters holding hands together, it's called a raft. So that's what
so
a group
cute.
Of otters is called, which is so cute.
Oh, yeah.
If you think of how a raft is made, you know, it's woven and, you know, something you ride on the ocean, but it helps to keep them safe and secure. And then she also teaches them how to swim and teaches them how to find the food that they need. So that's a sea otter. A river otter will teach her pups how to swim and how to find food. And they are super agile, so much more so than sea otters. They're very fast. River otters can move probably twice as fast as a sea otter can and switch directions over and over. And so that's why they're actually able to hunt fish. Sea otters are not fast enough. They need things that are slow and maybe still that they can pick up and eat. But river otters actually can swim fast and catch those fish. So she will teach them how to fish, how to collect food. They live more in groups of family groups. So there may be one father, several mothers, lots of pups. And the when there is a predator nearby, they will attack the predator. So the Amazonian otters that live in the Amazon, there's a lot of really big predators that can be a threat to their pups. And so they will be aggressive toward jaguars, which are really a big animal.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, pretty scary. But they are so protective of their pups that they will take on and scare off jaguar. Also, caiman, which is a type of alligator, lives in the Amazon, and they can kill a caiman as a group. Wow. They can take down a caiman. And then also boa constrictors live in the Amazon, and they will attack boa constrictors. So they are very protective of their pups and will work together to take the predator out or to eliminate the predator.
Wow. And how amazing that they're working together to do this.
Yeah.
They're really banding amazing. Together as a community to keep their young safe so that their young can grow up and there can be more otters for us to enjoy.
That's right.
Well, Jill, you had mentioned to me when you were researching something, I believed it because you told it to me, but I had a hard time believing it. You said that otters have a favorite rock?
Yes. So in sea otters, they have armpit pockets.
Armpit pockets.
So on both sides, underneath their arms, they have a flap of skin where they can store anything they want. They can store extra food in there. They can store their favorite rock in there. And when sea otters are juvenile, they will juggle rocks. They will play with them. They will get several rocks. And when they are happy and content and just hanging out, they will toss their rocks and juggle them in circles. Now, when they become adults, they don't have as much time for that. They're tending pups and, you know, finding food. But when they're juveniles, they play. And that's one of the things that otters are known for, is they're playful and how they swim and how they navigate life and how they juggle rocks that they keep in their armpit pockets.
Oh, my word. I just love a beautiful example of play in nature, that God designed creatures to play, and that just like our own play, the otters are learning so much as they're doing that, learning how to navigate the water and how to swim and how to use their hands that they're going to need to get their prey later. And wow, that's incredible. It also makes me think, you know, about kids with their rock pocket when they're out finding rocks and they're going to stick them in their pockets, or like the otters storing food in their pocket. It reminds me of sometimes if my kids forget there's a sandwich in their backpack and and I'll go and find it much later. I'm like, oh no. Wow. Yes. How amazing. Well, Jill, this has been fascinating. Is there anything else that you wanted to share about otters?
Oh, there's so much more, but I will include a lot of this in the curriculum that for those Nat Theo Club members get to participate and learn about. So
yes.
I have a lot more to share with you about otters.
Yes, Nat Theo Club members, Jill writes the science portion of our curriculum. So make sure to dive deeper and learn more about otters in the curriculum this week, as well as the bonus video. I'm going to be sharing some video of river otters that my family saw at the ocean last year. Well, Jill, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all your wisdom and curiosity about otters.
Well, thank you much. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I always enjoy it.
Isn't it amazing to think about how otters keep each other safe? Jill explained that river otters will band together to fight off predators, even big, scary ones. And Jill also taught us how sea otters link up together, creating living rafts to stay safe. Jill shared that the sea otters will hold hands, and they will even entangle themselves in kelp to keep from drifting apart. Sea otters do this to interact with each other and to stay safe and warm. You know, it kind of reminds me about how God created community in our lives to help keep us safe. Do you know what that word community means? Community is a group of people, or of course, sometimes animals, who live, work, or spend time together and help each other. When we are in community with others who love and follow God, it means that we are sharing life with them. Can you think of any ways to do that? We can have community by going to church together, worshiping God together, sharing meals and having fun together, supporting and helping each other, and helping to keep each other safe. When we share life with others, we can watch out for each other and we can help warn each other of danger. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds." Picture a sea otter all on its own. It is much more vulnerable to danger and predators, but together they can stay safe. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." And you know, listeners, otters are acting by instinct, how God designed them, to stay safe and to keep their families safe. But as humans, we can experience a much deeper level of community. Because God created us in His image and with an eternal soul, so we can experience love and a deeper connection. We can be devoted to one another in love. As Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Whenever you see or think about a sea otter or a river otter, consider how God designed them to stay safe and keep each other safe, and how God's plan for us involves staying safe through healthy community. So let's seek to surround ourselves with strong, healthy community by spending time with others who love and follow God. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hi, my name is Retson. I'm 8 years old. I live in Oklahoma, and my question is, are lion's mane jellyfish longer than blue whales?
That is a great question, Retson. Are lion's mane jellyfish longer than blue whales? You know, I love this question because the same ocean trip when my family saw river otters, we also saw lion's mane jellyfish washed up on the beach. This is quite common to see them on the beach. But thankfully, we also got to see one still alive in the water. Now, the ones that we saw, they were large. Their bell, or the main part of their bodies, were around 1 to 2 feet large. In the water, when their tentacles are all outstretched, they can be around 6 to 8 feet long, so longer than an adult human is tall. However, the ones that we saw, they were pretty small compared to some lion's mane jellyfish. You see, lion's mane jellyfish, they can grow to be around 120 feet or 37 meters long. Now, that is mostly tentacles, but it's still very long. It's about as long as 3 to 4 school buses in a row, depending on the type of school bus. And yes, it is longer than a blue whale. A blue whale can grow to be around 100 feet or 30 meters long. However, a blue whale has much more body mass. It is much heavier than a lion's mane jellyfish. The jellyfish is just designed with very, very long tentacles. Thank you for your great question, Retson. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure after this episode to click over to the bonus video to see the video I took of the river otters at the ocean. You can find that bonus video in the link in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. How many hours a day does a sea otter spend cleaning its fur? A, they don't clean their fur. B, 1 to 2 hours. C, 4 to 6 hours. Or D, 10 hours. The answer is C. Sea otters normally spend between 4 and 6 hours every day grooming or cleaning their fur. They need to keep it in good shape so that it can keep them warm and protected. And of course, it helps them look quite magnificent. Now it's your turn to explore. Go see if you can find a creature playing. Jill explained to us that young sea otters have a pocket beneath each armpit in which they sometimes keep a favorite rock, and they can be seen juggling or tossing these rocks around. Go on a walk outside and see if you can find a creature at play, or if you have a pet, maybe play with them. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to check out Jill's amazing book, Nature Unveiled, and her education cards at the link in our show notes. If you enjoyed this lesson on otters, please take a moment to share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.